Hello, hello, hello. I have a few cheerleaders here, but they just aren't talking, I guess. All right, we'll start over. In Ephesians 5:11, it says, "Have no fellowship in the unfruitful works of darkness." What does that mean? Don't take any part. Amen. Have no place, no fellowship in the unfruitful works of darkness. But what are we supposed to do? Rather reprove them. What does that word reprove mean? How am I supposed to reprove something? It means expose, take the mask off. Expose and unmask, reveal the facts, uncover. Let the harm and the danger be known. So as Christians, this is what we're supposed to do. And sometimes it might not seem like the loving thing to do, but to walk in the light and to be the light and expose the darkness is walking in love. And again, I just want to say, reprove means to expose, unmask, reveal the facts, uncover, let the harm and the danger be known. So we're called to stand against lies and evil. And the Bible says if we love the world, the love of the Father is in us. And before, like 20 years ago, it seemed like everything was great in the church. I mean, the church was popular and wonderful. But the more and more we've come out of that and seeing that Satan comes as an angel of light. And this is why it's so hard for people to see the deception that's going on in the church and in the world is because he comes as a nice guy. He comes as a real friendly light, but it's a false light. And so we have to have eyes to see the deception that's happening. And to do that, we have to stand. And having done all to stand. And sometimes that gets discouraging because you feel tired. You're like, doesn't anybody want to hear? Because 20 years ago, we were all hip, hip, hooray for some of these movements, and now we've come out of it, and people are like, well, you're the one that told me to get in this movement, and now you're saying get out of it? Yeah. And we're called to stand against evil and lies, and we have to all humbly admit we've been deceived. Yeah. And we've all been deceived. There's so many false teachers out there, and so people have asked me, who do you recommend? I said, I recommend reading your Bible. Yeah. I really do, because it's getting less and less of those that are not pushing something, some kind of a doctrine. And you have to go way back. And the Jesuits are way, way, way back in the history of all roads lead to Rome. The infiltration of so much, as I've studied and researched, is like, wow, I thought that person was really anointed. Now I found out she was a plant. Yeah. She was planted. And caused, you know, a lot of these people think these people are so anointed. They're not anointed. They have familiar spirits. Another thing, we are not to call on and talk to the dead. We're called to talk to the living. We're called to talk to Jesus. And the, you know, it's amazing how people go, we went to heaven and talked to Abraham. Well, no, you didn't. You were deceived because Abraham's dead and we're not to cross that veil. And that's called necromancy, and it's against the Bible. The Bible tells us not to have anything to do with necromancy. But little by little, and not so little now in the last few years, the occult has moved in. And people now think it's spirituality to talk to these dead people, but it's not. Oh, I talked to my son, he died, and now he came and visited me. No, he didn't. That was God's not going to go against his word and send your son back, as sad as that might be. We just haven't been taught correctly. We thought, oh, I'm so spiritual now. I'm talking to the dead. No, you're an abomination. You're not supposed to be doing that. Talk to the living. Amen? Talk to Jesus. So we're supposed to stand against all these lies. And sometimes it's hard when something has been so taught in the so-called visible church and you find out that it's a lie. And now you have to expose it. Well, that's real fun. Let's all sign up for that job. Oh, we want to hear. There are people that want to hear, but don't expect the carnal, brainwashed church to want to hear. It's going to be a remnant, and the way is narrow. So if you're walking on that road, hallelujah, thank the Lord that you're on that road, because years ago we were all on that road thinking, you know, that we were in the latest and the greatest that God was doing, and God's doing a new move, and God's doing this and that. And now they can just put anything in the name of God, and people are accepting it. And no, we have to test the spirits, try the spirits, and see if your favorite preacher is still really preaching the Bible, or if you're just on some kind of a wagon ride, train ride to the latest station. So we have to take the cover off evil. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his assignment. That's what he's always done. And as the end times gets worse and worse, it's not getting better and better, like these prophets, prophet liars are saying, that it's going to be so great and you're into your next breakthrough. Yeah, just give them more money and then you got your breakthrough, right? I am so tired of these liars. And, you know, we've been brainwashed to support these unanointed people. And we have to wake up and say, Lord, forgive us for following these men and these women and these people that have taken us away from the Bible, and we've worshiped men. Mm-hmm. We didn't know we were doing it, but little by little, all these roads are leading to Rome, as we're finding out. So this has been part of the plan of the enemy for a long, long, long time. And think it not strange, as we uncover things and we start seeing things, because God is shaking everything that can be shaken. People are starting to wake up and say, this isn't working for me. This formula, 7 points to find success or whatever, is not working for anyone but the top of the pyramid guy, right? That's not how God works. So we have to take the cover off evil and not embrace it. We are not to embrace it and tolerate it, but we're to expose it. And this is the problem the church is at right now, is they don't want to expose anything because they're going to lose people. Well, I'd rather lose people now and face God than rather than say, well, I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be famous on the earth. That's not what they tell you, but that's what they're doing. They're competing with each other. We got to get back to the simplicity of just preaching the Bible, even though it's not popular. There was a time that everybody wanted to go to church. What's happening now? Will there be any faith on the earth? You kind of wonder if that scripture is like, wow. Yeah, because deception is all around us. But we do not have to be deceived, but we have to be informed. So it's sad now because we have to protect our children. So much is coming at these children. And like I told you for years now, the Alice Bailey thing, we're going to go after the youth. Well, they're really going after the youth. Even in the cartoons, their agendas are being placed now. And you have to really watch what your kids are watching, parents and grandparents. It's not a babysitter to put your kids on an iPad anymore. You've got to really watch what they're watching. And even when they're doing all these devices and stuff, it's not good for their brains and their eyes. I was just listening to someone today saying how bad these little devices are for these little kids. So much is being thrown at us. Matthew 10:28. We have to keep the fear of the Lord, because if you start listening to the news and the world and all this stuff, your heart can just get fearful, because it's like the things that are coming on the earth. Men's hearts shall fail them for the things that are coming on the earth. The prices that are going up and all the people that are having a struggle just to make ends meet now. We've never faced this. We're coming into times that we've never faced before. So we have to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds in the Lord, find fellowship with people that are like mine. Good luck with that. But they're out there. But don't expect it to be a big crowd. But we're not to fear those who can only destroy the body. But fear, what does that mean? Have reverence for, to him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And today they'll tell you there is no hell. They'll say, you know, all roads lead to God, your own God. God loves all of us the same. Well, keep your eyes on Jesus, and that's who we fear. And when you know that this life is just a test, and that we're going on to an eternal life forever and ever, that keeps your focus on, I'm going to fear the Lord, not what the enemy's doing. You can't constantly feed on what the devil's doing. The news is so bad. Just like shut it off sometimes. Just shut it off. Just kind of get an overview. You can't live on that because it depresses you. It makes you sad of what our kids and our grandkids are facing, even in public school. And they're told to reject their bodies and be whatever they want to today. And they can identify as a cat. I was listening to one lady, she was identifying as a cat, and she wanted a litter box put in school. I thought, this is absolutely twilight zone. We're living in the twilight zone. Oh, my Lord. So we need parents and leaders to train and prepare their children. This is our job. We're here for a reason. We're still here. We have an assignment to tell our kids and our grandkids, if they'll listen. Yeah. But when the kids are little, you can get to them and you can explain to them, you know, what's going on and what's of the Lord and what's of the devil. And my little granddaughter goes, I can't talk about the devil in school, but she knows who he is. Because we're dealing with an antichrist system. And this antichrist system, and according to Revelation 17 and 18, is not going away in the end times. There already were antichrist spirits when they were writing the Bible, but now how much it's increased, right? So much has happened. We're going into the beast system and the mark of the beast. And you can see the signs all around, how easily we can go into a digital cashless society and how everything can so quickly change in the programmable digital things and their kill switch cars and all the things they want to do. We have to keep our hearts and minds in the Lord so we don't get weary. Because this last week I studied another whole message and I thought, you know, I always go, it's like you got to find the vein, you know. And I couldn't find the vein. I was like, what, Lord, what is it? And I just felt like so many people are discouraged. They're weary and they're tired. When you're in battle fatigue and you're fighting for your family, you're fighting on your job, you're trying to make ends meet, you know, and you're just like, why are things not getting better? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You just don't see anything changing. This is where we got to keep our hearts in the Lord. We got to say, Lord, strengthen us, because I'm weary in my own strength. I'm weary. Lies have been packaged in positive masking terms. We knew a couple years ago when everybody put on their masks, this was going to be a change. And we didn't know exactly how these agendas were coming in, but this was worldwide. And I've been studying these agendas for the last, well, since 2016, I think. And I started seeing things then, and I was like, oh boy, we're in for it. This is the beginning of something huge. This is the beginning of a lot more control. Things are getting controlled, and things are definitely changing. Our world, just in the last 5 years, have totally changed. Everything's changed. And now they just have these positive masking terms for your safety. This is going to increase. Everything's going to be so-called for your safety. Question everything. And then, of course, for national security. Everything's for national security. Everything. These are the terms that these agendas go all under, you know, they go through these agendas and everybody goes, oh, okay, I guess it's, they know best. They know best what's best for me. But behind these lies, there's a destructive agenda. In the world, it's the beast system. In the church, it's the harlot church. The Bible talks about there's going to be a false church. And we're seeing it. If you have eyes to see, you're seeing it. You're seeing the doctrines, the Bibles are changing. The words are changing. People are saying they can go to round trips to heaven now. You don't even need a ticket. You just, you know, you just have enough faith and you can go visit them all. Don't believe these people. Stop listening to these people. There is no jello land in heaven. Anybody that would even say such a thing has no fear of the Lord. Yeah, it's just amazing how many people are falling for this. If you know the battle we're up against, what is it? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle is a spiritual battle. It's always been a spiritual battle. Satan appeared in the Garden of Eden to attack and tempt Adam and Eve, and since then, he's still around. A lot of people quit talking about him, but that doesn't mean he's not there. And if you watch TV shows, you'll see more and more symbolism. You shall know them by their symbols. I did a teaching on that. They're not even hiding their agendas anymore. They're just blatantly out in their front yards and putting all these symbols and stuff I've just read lately. I was like, wow, they're not even covering it up anymore. They're actually proud of it, that they're satanic and they're Luciferians and they're demonic. They're proud of it. So this battle that we're up against, it's not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people, but principalities and powers that are actually these people have yielded to these spirits. You couldn't even think of this stuff on your own, how evil things are becoming. It's demonic because we are fighting demons. So now we have to make sure that we don't grow cold in the day of weariness, in the day of battle, and in the things that are happening, and not being offended. Because people can make you offended just that fast, can't they? So we got to guard our hearts. And we're all tempted to be offended by that jerk, whoever he might be, whoever she might be. But it's not worth your relationship with the Lord to be offended. And that's what you got to say. I got to guard my heart. I got to keep my heart in the Lord. Because as times grow more desperate. I was just looking at our little finches outside, and there's just a little bit left on the bottom of that sock. And this one little finch was just fighting everybody else off. That's my food. And I thought, wow. So they were all so sweet when we had so much, and they were all just eating freely. Well, that little finch had a little desperate people do desperate things. And I was just watching those finches fight. I was like, wow. They were fine until there was no food. Little food. You'll be surprised at what comes out of people when they get desperate. So we have to make sure that we don't grow cold and offended, and that we keep our faith in Christ, and having done all to stand, and we endure to the end, whatever that end might be for us. And I just want to encourage you, don't put your faith in politics. Amen. Keep your faith in Jesus. Yes. I don't care if they say they're Christians. How do you know? How do you know? Do you believe them? By their fruits you shall know them. I mean, just because they say they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. Exactly. So you got to get your head out of the right left thing and just keep your eyes on Jesus. His kingdom is not of this world. Amen. And it's going to get wicked. It is already wicked, but bribery and money, and people are sold out. It's hard to find somebody that's really serving the Lord these days, let alone a true, honest politician. And it's funny how they never get elected, seems like, the good ones. And then we don't get a choice, do we? We get bad or worse. And you get to vote, bad or worse. Keep your heart and your mind in the Lord, not in men. He didn't save you. These people didn't save you. And a lot of this is just pit against each other to keep fighting. It's always been right versus left, fight. Families that will never talk to each other again because of the division over politics. Divide and conquer. It's been going on for a long time. I'm not going to go into the rest of it, but the scriptural battle is based on anti-God of the Bible. They don't mind if you have a God. Worship any God, but not the God of the Bible. That's where their problem is. Anti-family. We're starting to see more and more how the kids are being pitted against their parents. You can do things now without telling your parents at school. How sad is that? You raised them, you birthed them, and now they want to raise them and tell you how to raise them. Anti-morals. Everything is accepted. Just, you know, we said it, so you now all of a sudden you want to come today as a pronoun. What do you want to be today? How crazy is this stuff going on? And they say, well, the biggest thing is going to be mental illness. Will you think? My son, Tyrone, every day when he was little, he would dress as a different Bible character, her Superman. He was one of these little kids that just loved to dress up. Can you imagine if I said, okay, well, we're going to call you Superman now, and just set him in that place and time to be Superman? Well, the next day he wanted to be Bible Man. You know, kids will do all sorts of different things. So it's very sad what they're doing, and they're going in, and these young innocents, the enemy wants to destroy their innocence in this matrix that we live in. And what is the matrix? It's fake reality. Fake. The devil doesn't want us to live in what God made. The earth, enjoy the beautiful things that God made, the foods that God made. Going to be hard to even find organic, if that's even true anymore. Is it? I mean, how do you know? So we got to trust the Lord. We got to pray over our food once again. So the battle is based on anti-God of the Bible, anti-family, anti-morals, fake reality, fake science. Think of all the fake stuff that we're dealing with. Fake news, false doctrines, and false prophets. The church is really in a battle now because they're pushing all these doctrines and they're pushing all of this. And if you're called separate or if you want to believe in the Bible, you're the ones that are going to be called out and persecuted. So we have to teach our children and we have to teach our grandchildren the battle that they face. Prepare them to stand because otherwise any little wind of doctrine is going to blow them over. So we have to have these older people around that know. And they know what's going on. It takes you years to figure this stuff out. And then you're old, and then everyone wants to shut you up. Well, it's the old people that know stuff. They live through this. It's the gray hair, the Bible says, has a wisdom. The so-called church has been so compromised and is now part of the problem. Did you get that? We're supposed to be the light, but so many churches now are the false light. Because Satan has come as an angel of light. But we can become weary in the battle, trying to tell people. Galatians 6:10 says, we can be weary in well-doing. You get mentally fatigued. And you do. You get tired. And you have to learn to rest. You have to rest in the peace of God, rest from the news, rest from maybe certain people in your life that want to take you down wrong roads and do bad things. It's just time to, you know what, I'm not going to go with that group anymore. I was amazed we went to a reunion, and so many of the people that were still doing the same things they did in high school. It's like they're stuck there. It's just like, wow. And they made fun of me because I'm a reverend. I said, don't call me reverend. I've always hated that. Don't call me reverend. Boy, they had fun with that. But we can become weary in battle, weary in well-doing. Mentally fatigued from the news. Shut it off. A couple of years ago, it was just depressing to turn on the news. All this stuff. And because I knew some of the agendas that were coming in, I'm like, they are lying to you. They're lying to us. They're lying. But people didn't want to believe it. That's tiring when you feel like you keep proclaiming truth and people don't want to hear it. You get setbacks, you get delays, you get disappointments. Have you ever been disappointed in people? The term battle weary came from soldiers that were on the battlefield too long. And it seems like true Christianity is really in a battlefield now. And you just have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because sometimes nobody else is going to do it. We're going to read a story about that in a second. Get stressed out because of the warfare, the trauma, and the loss of fellow soldiers. And I always think about my dad, World War II. He was the only one that came back that lived. And he came back damaged. He came back traumatized. And we all felt it because he was on the battle. He was on the battlefield. That's another whole thing, wars. We won't get into that. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's look here for a second. In verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites always represent the enemy, had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now think about that. I was thinking they're still doing that today. They're still burning things down. Smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive. Carried the women away. They didn't kill them, but they carried them away. In verse 3, David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. It's just sad now what's going on in Florida. It's just flooded. People have nothing. There was a teacher that was on the news that was in Florida, and he retired there, and his students were gathering around him to give him money. He was moving back to Minnesota. How sad. Move to Florida and then have to move back to Minnesota in the winter. But they came to the city and it was gone. Everything they had, people's livelihood, and it's just devastating. It's beyond words. So David and his men came to the city and it was burned with fire, and their wives, their son, and their daughters were taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. How fun is that? You lost everything along with them, and now they turn against you. Here again, desperate people do desperate things. They do things they'd never do under normal situations. We're starting to see in different states, I've been hearing about people walking in, stealing stuff out of stores and stuff. And because I think it was in California, because they're not going to, they even had their calculators, because if it's under $1,000, they're not going to arrest you. So they make sure it's not $1,000. We are in the twilight zone, aren't we? So David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. But the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he went and he sought the Lord. And he's asking God in verse 8, should I pursue them? You know, should we go after them, or are they destroyed? Or what should, and the Lord told him, pursue them, and you're going to overtake them, and you're going to recover all. But I want you to see in verse 10, he had 400 men. There were actually 600 men, I believe, in the beginning. Yeah, so David went, and he and the 600 men that were with him, but they left 200 behind, because 200 of them were tired. They didn't have the strength to go on. 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook. And later on, some of these people said, well, we took the spoil, but we're not going to give it to them because they rested. Well, they were discouraged and they were faint. And David said, oh no. He said, we're all getting the spoil, even the ones that didn't go with us, because they stayed with the stuff. They still had an assignment, and they stayed with the stuff. And there's times, sometimes you just know, you're not supposed to go to that place, you're not supposed to do that, you got to say no, you got to rest, it's time to take, and it is, it's hard to rest, isn't it? I don't like resting, but in these last few years, we've had to learn to rest. And your body needs it, or you're going through something, or people are shedding on you, if you know what I mean. That's all we'll say about that. But they got the same reward. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. David recovered all. In verse 21, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. He honored them. There's going to be times that some people are going to be tired and you're not. You're strong for them. And there's going to be some times that they're going to be strong for you. Yeah. Seems like not everybody loses their strength at the same time. Hallelujah. But salute them when they're going through their season of weariness or discouragement or loss. My son just lost one of his best friends. It was very hard. You know, he goes, I know eventually my emotions will catch up with me, but it was a hard time. It was a hard time. He cried and cried and cried, wept, just a sudden death in a car accident. So many things happen in this life that we don't plan. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We sang that song earlier. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. There's so many things that we thought as we were going to get older, we could retire and do all this and that and this and that. Things are changing. It's almost like the enemy's just saying, no, you're not going to retire. Nobody can retire. You can't afford to retire. So we have to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep seeking the Lord. So here David, he grew tired and he got weary. Some of them stopped and they couldn't go a step further. They stayed with the stuff, but they needed to rest. They weren't lazy. They weren't giving up. They rested. Amen. And you're not lazy. You're not quitting or giving up when you're resting. There's times you need to come aside and rest. Because serving God isn't a game. It's not a game. The enemy's out for souls. He's out to destroy people. He's out to deceive people. And sometimes we're going to have to play hurt. Boy, there are so many times I've had to preach and I didn't want to. Didn't feel like it. Hurting. Somebody did this or that, or someone died. Or there's just so many times you have to go to work and you don't feel like it. You play hurt. Just like the football players. They get hurt, but they stay in the game. They patch themselves up and they get back out there. Or you get rejected and misunderstood. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. all of us have missed it. All of us have fumbled, or if you go in basketball terms, you've missed a shot, or all these different things. We've all done it. We've all blown it. So you got to encourage yourself and the Lord to get back up again, even though you missed it, even though you blew it, even though you were in false doctrine for years. We got to keep pressing on. Sometimes you're hurt by friendly fire. That can be the worst. When you're hurt by someone from your own team because they gave place to the devil, didn't want to work things out, but just spread lies and rumors. That's very sad. But it's part of the warfare that we fight. 2 Samuel 23:10, Eleazar, he was one of David's mighty men. He arose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. He fought so long that he couldn't even let go of his sword. And I feel like that's where a lot of people are right now. They're working two jobs. They're trying to prep. They're trying to save food. They're trying to save money. People are going through a lot of things, not just in America, but all over the world. And send me your emails from different countries. I really love that. Let me know what's going on, and we can share some of those with our YouTube people here. In Exodus 17:12, Moses' hands were heavy. There's times when the leaders get tired. And when they're tired, what did he have? Aaron and Hur lifted up his hands. Because we all get tired at the same time. But when you see somebody needs encouragement, we should surround that person with encouragement to keep them going. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing, like a spirit of Demas all over. People are loving this world. They're getting hooked and addicted to the things of the world, and they're forgetting about God, and they're forgetting about the things that they learned in their youth. Demas, he didn't die. He fainted, and he went back to the world. We don't want to go back to the world. There's nothing there. It might look like all these possessions are so great, to go into debt. All these people are losing their beach homes, and it's just so sad to see. But this world isn't, the material things of this world, the more you lose, the more you say, you know what, it's not in that. It's in relationships. It's in my fellowship. It's in the people that know the Lord, to encourage each other. Those are true friends, not fake friends. We've had enough fake friends, haven't we? 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish. I mean, aren't you glad mirrors can't laugh? They can't talk, but aren't you glad they can't laugh? The older we get, we're like, seriously? I mean, nobody prepares you for this, right? So our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day, not once a month. If you go once a month and you just try to get encouraged in the Lord, it's going to take a long time to get filled. Your tank is empty. Every Christian has dropped the ball, fumbled, missed a shot, got offended, burned out. Why? Because we're in a war. We are in a spiritual war. And it's in the church trying to make you think the false light is the real light. John 6:6, from this time, many of Jesus' disciples went back and they walked no more with him. People in your life, you know, they walked with the Lord for a while and now they're not. They fainted and they fell by the wayside. If you fainted, get back up, encourage yourself in the Lord. Nobody else is going to come and pick you up. Yes, the church hurt you. We could sing, you know, all these sad songs, but it doesn't matter. What are you going to do? We still have to get up and we still have to encourage ourselves. We still have to move forward. We got to press on. Even though we hear the lions roaring, we hear the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, everything's going to cost so much. You're not going to be able to live here. All the fears that are coming on people right now, fears they've never faced before globally. This is a global agenda that they're moving forward. We become weary when life happens and takes us places we never intended to go. We didn't plan for that to happen. Weariness sets in as we continue to wait, and see no changes. People you're praying for, they just don't seem to change. This or that, you can grow weary when you don't see any changes. So what are we told to do? Endure hardness. as a good soldier. See, we haven't been taught this in our churches, that it's going to get hard and you have to endure hardness. We've been taught the seven laws to prosperity and the power of your word. We've been taught garbage and junk. Junk food produces nothing but junk results. We shouldn't expect the approval of the world and disobedient carnal brethren. All right, and I'm going to close with this. In Isaiah 40, in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Sorry, Jesse, but Jesse said, I got to encourage God today. He's discouraged. I'm sorry, but God doesn't get discouraged and he doesn't get weary. That was a false doctrine and a false dream to heaven. Neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. You're fainting? We can all say, oh yeah, you know, times are getting very challenging. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Like David, he had no strength to go and pursue. Everything was burned. It looked like everything was lost. But he sought the Lord, and in that guidance, God showed him what to do. Each of us have to seek the Lord, and in that guidance, he's got to tell us, what do we do? What do we do with this grandchild? What do we do with this husband or wife? What do we do? Lord, how do we proceed? A lot of the people in my class, they lost their husbands. I was amazed to see how many widows that were in my class. Someone just today, their husband died. I was like, wow, what do you do now? Where do you got to seek the Lord. Say, Lord, what do I do now? My life seems like it's over, but it's not over. You're still here. We're still here. What do we do? Lord, what do you want us to do? And don't do anything until God shows you. Amen. The worst thing to do is, because you're upset with something, you want to change, and then you make that change and it was the wrong thing. Yeah. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Even when people are young, they get weary. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So let's pray. Father, we pray for all those that are weary, tired, discouraged, betrayed, rejected, disappointed. They have so many sorrows and losses. There's so many people going through so much right now. Father, we thank you for the strength to go forward, one step forward, that we have the courage to think ahead, to move forward, to not let the enemy put us in fear and self-pity, because self-pity will take us out. So we encourage ourselves in the Lord. We thank you, Father, you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And we thank you for these end times, Lord, that you keep showing us truth, even though it's hard to swallow. Some of the things we've been in that we thought were true, we find out they aren't. We just thank you for giving us the wisdom to see the difference and to help those that want to help. There's going to be so much that's being shaken, and our hope is in the Lord. That's where our hope is. Our hope is in the Lord. So, Father, we thank you that you're our shepherd, and we shall not want. We shall not lack, for you lead us and you guide us. That's for today, not when we're dead, not when we're burying someone. You're our shepherd right now. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.